You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Seed to Seed. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Okay, so God creates the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created. So, verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Okay, so you say, well, what's the big deal there? We'll come back to this and you'll see. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And this little phrase is repeated past this. We're not going to read all of them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Okay? So specifically, he says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Okay? You say, well, that's a no-brainer thing. If Adam and Eve don't hook up, that's the Hebrew term, if they don't get together and do what they were made to do, a man and a woman together, it's the only way you're going to be fruitful and multiply, right? But that is a big deal. Be fruitful and multiply. He did not intend for there just to be two, and that's it. Go to Psalm 92, Psalm 92, verse 12. So look at this one. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. These are big, powerful trees. Those who are, and look where this tree is planted. This one, 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So if you're going to get planted in the house of the Lord, right? And then flourishing comes out of that. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. So people think, well, you know, you take Abraham and Sarah and she was barren and he might have been barren too for all we know. You know, just all that equipment had probably shut down at that age. And here they are told they're going to have a baby and they make a run at it and they do. But this is talking spiritually about what? Still bear fruit in old age. So this is not, you say, well, physically I'm winding down. Spiritually, you better be winding up. And the Bible talks about not even listening to somebody until they have a hoary head, a head of white hair. Like, who's going to listen to anybody that didn't have white hair? I'm not saying you should listen to everybody with white hair. Just that doesn't make it all good. But there's a good chance that somebody who's got some white hairs lives some life, and they might have something to say. We're too busy jumping to young people who just came up with something instead of the wisdom of people that have lived a little while. Okay? Matthew 28, verse 18. Now, where is the be fruitful and multiply passage in the New Testament? I believe this is it. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, or as you are going, make disciples, be fruitful and multiply. Okay? There is a difference, and our mission statement as a church is disciples making disciples. It is not Christians making Christians. That's not what he left us here to do. You say, well, what's the difference? A Christian can tell another person how to become a Christian and then dump them there and leave them there and not do what he said to do. If that's what it was about, Jesus would have blown in here, done his deal, gotten out. Why would he spend 33 years on the planet, 30 years preparing for 3 years for 3 days, and then leave? Because he was trying to put something in place, this multiplication principle. So yes, it is a tremendous thing when somebody becomes a Christian, but that is just the start, as birth is just the beginning of life, of that life unfolding. Okay, so if he says, make disciples, you don't have anywhere in the scriptures where the disciples raised their hand and said, well, what do you mean by that? They knew exactly what he meant by that. Go out there, make disciples, and what did he say in addition to that? Of all the nations, so go everywhere, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. So not just get them saved, not just baptize them, but now teach them everything I taught you. That is a very long process. That is discipleship. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So the promise that I'm not going to leave you, not going to forsake you. I'm going to be right there with you. And as it turns out, Holy Spirit comes, and now he's not just with them, he's in them. You can't beat that. This is so simple, okay? So even in the New Testament, Jesus is saying, okay, I'm telling you, Old Testament said be fruitful and multiply physically. I'm telling you to be fruitful and multiply spiritually, okay? So now before we go any further, let me ask you a question. Are you multiplying spiritually? Unfortunately, 90-something percent of Christians you ask this type of question to never led anybody to Christ, don't share their faith, not happening. You say, but I should be. I'm with you. So why is it not happening? Is that someone else's job? Right? You say, well, you're going to make me feel bad. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Hopefully you're going to feel better by the end because you can see what you can do about it. But if you feel bad, sometimes that's okay. I've had this thing kind of chewing on this, and I've probably floated this thing, and it's spiritual puberty. So I've got all girls. You get a grandbaby boy, and they got different equipment, right? Right from the start, different equipment. So I remember my daughters being born. I looked at, my oldest, Elizabeth, and tiny little body, and she's under this little heat lamp, and I thought, this is what I thought, other than, wow, I'm in big trouble. I looked down at this tiny little body and I thought, this is amazing because she has everything contained in that tiny little body she's ever going to get. She just has no idea what she's got. There's a woman in there. There's ovaries, breasts. There's every piece of equipment she needs to have a baby, make a baby. It's all right there in that tiny little body. And she's clueless, but it's in that package. So you see a little baby boy. And, it's equipment, it's there. And you go, well, wow, this kid has no idea. And you can get, I didn't know this, but you can get shot, all kind of, you gotta wear like goggles and things with boys. It's just different. So, but there's that little boy. Now, he's got all the equipment he needs to do what? Be fruitful and multiply. Why can't he be fruitful and multiply yet? What has not happened? Puberty. How do we describe puberty? What is required? What is that process to get there? You have to mature to reach puberty. So now track with me. Until you have maturity, you probably don't have any seed. Okay? Now think about that. So a plant matures and they have seed. Okay? Let's go to the next one. Matthew 21. Now, as we go through this and we keep going through this, I want you to put two words together, and it's the words maturity and seed, okay? And we'll come back to those. Matthew 21, verse 18. The context of this, Jesus has gone into Jerusalem. He's gone in the temple. He's flipping tables and basically saying, you've turned this into a den of thieves. This is a house of prayer. This is not what was intended here. And so he's after the Jews for turning his father's house into a den of thieves, basically. And then in verse 18, it says, now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. Normal. Jesus is hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And this, you think, well, this is going to, man, he's being mean to trees right here. This is not right. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it. And by the way, they'd plant them by the road because there was this kind of theory they had that dust from the road and the sap from the fig tree and the dust would get in the sap and somehow that helped the tree grow. And I don't know where they came up with that, but that's kind of why you'd find them planted along roads, dusty roads. Came to it, found nothing on it but leaves and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. Cursed the fig tree, no fruit. Now you say, well, that's not right. That's not fair. Why would he be mean to the fig tree? Let me tell you something about figs. When you see leaves on a fig tree, what does that mean? The way fig trees work is you get fruit before you get leaves. So when you see a fig tree and you see leaves, what do you know about that tree? somewhere behind all those leaves is going to be fruit. Why was he so mean to the fig tree? Because fig trees and Jews and all that mixed together symbolized Israel, the nation of Israel, and all that gets tied together. And what is he saying to the nation? I'm done with this. I'm done with leaves and no fruit. You look like you're ready to go. You look like under all those leaves, if I just look, there's going to be fruit. There's no fruit. You're out. And takes that tree out and demonstrates that he can do what? He can take Israel out. He can take, say, you know what? I'm tired of this hypocrisy. Now, where does that apply to us? Somebody rolls up on you, rolls up on me and goes, how are you doing? I'm good. Good week. Yeah, praise the Lord. So far, good leaves. So what are you involved with? Oh, I teach. Good leaves. And then they keep poking around your tree and go, so let's see some fruit. You know, I'm going to spend some time with you. Oh, I'm real busy. You know why people don't spend time with people? Because you can't hide but so long. So you sit with someone, you spend time with someone, 3 years with someone, you're going to find out if there's fruit or not. So what I was trained to do, you've heard this repeatedly, is go to church, make sure you got leaves on the branches, but don't let anybody close enough to be peeking behind the leaves to find any figs, because now you're meddling. So you get in and out really quick and no fruit inspection. Let me tell you something about a healthy, mature tree. Sooner or later, fruit. So if you want to know how you're doing, we've gone for weeks over fruit of the Spirit. Go back, read the list. So either I got the list working or I don't. Either the Holy Spirit is, I'm walking with him and that's my life, or I'm not. If you're not walking with God, you got no fruit. Now, this is where seed to seed goes. If you've got no fruit, what else are you missing? Because the seed is where? In the fruit. John 15, got some more. John 15, verse 1, this is Jesus. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. You feel like you're getting clipped? It's probably because you're bearing fruit. So here's the danger. You say, well, I don't know what he's doing. I'm bearing fruit finally, and I'm getting clipped. Because the stuff that's not bearing fruit, he'll clip off so that the branch will get stronger and bear even more fruit. If you know anything about vine dressing, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You have to stay connected. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So how do you stay connected to the vine? You walk in the Spirit. You wake up in the morning. You say, Lord, this is the day you've made. I'm going to rejoice, be glad in it. It's all about you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm listening. If you want me to go somewhere, park somewhere, eat somewhere, talk to somebody, I am available on call. Bring it. You say, well, who lives that way? Try it someday. Why, where would I end up? Probably where he tells you to end up. Oh, he might have me talk to strangers. Probably. Without me, you can do nothing. Okay, so you stay connected. If you are truly connected the way you're supposed to be, what is going to happen in your life? Anybody? What did it say? You're going to bear fruit. It's not going to be coincidence. It's just the way it works. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So if you claim to be a follower of Christ, you're his disciple, and you're not bearing fruit, something's not working. And look at what he said in verse 7. You abide in me. My words abide in you. Why is scripture so important? You read the scripture. You find out what God says about you, what God says about the world, what he's up to, what his plan is. And that's circulating. That's what's in your heart, your mind. Then you don't just randomly ask for something you want. You start asking for what he wants you to have. And you get that because that's his will. Keep reading. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So you say, now it's not just his word, now it's about love. How do you stay connected where you know he loves you, you love him? You keep his commandments. Where does it go wrong? He says to do this, you say, no, thank you, and you go do whatever you want to do. And if you live that way, you start thinking, well, I don't even know if I love God anymore, if he loves me. Why does it feel so distant? Because you're disconnected. You can't abide in his word. You can't abide in his love and do what he says to do and not be aware that he loves you. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So like, I'm trying to help you. Literally what he's saying, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You say, well, I'm a friend of Jesus. Really? Ask him if that's true. Because what do his friends do? They do what he says to do. You may be an acquaintance, but a friend is something else. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So he's like, I'm not treating you like a servant, like an employee. I'm treating you like a friend. So I'm telling you what I know. Verse 18, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and do what? Bear fruit. You didn't pick me, I picked you, and I picked you to do something. I appointed that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Acts chapter 1. Okay, so what is a mature believer? What is a characteristic of a mature believer? They're in the scriptures. They are keeping his commandments. You read something, you say, yes, sir, thank you, sir, and you apply that to your life and you do it. You walk in the spirit. You stay connected. And then you're bearing fruit. And part of what I'm telling you, what I believe is, as your life bears fruit, the seed is in the fruit, and you can no more not share your faith than not breathe. Because it's a byproduct of the fruit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Some of you know this by heart. You need to learn it by life. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And this is what will happen. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So when the Holy Spirit comes and you get him and you're connected to him, something is going to happen. What is going to happen? You will receive power. And you shall be witnesses. It is impossible to be walking in the Spirit, connected to the Spirit, mature, bearing fruit, and not be witnesses. It's not possible. How many Christians never reach spiritual puberty? They never grow up. You're alive, I get it. But that drive, that fruit, that maturity never kicks in, and you got no desire. You shall be witnesses. Galatians chapter 5. So here we are back at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul writing to this church in Galatia and to us and everybody else. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And what happens when you begin to live a life of walking in the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit starts to manifest. What is fruit an indication of? Maturity of the plant, of the species. So you say, I got born again. That's great. I'm learning. That's great. When are you going to get activated in the seed category? When you begin to bear fruit. Now you say, well, wait, just a minute. There's plenty of people that share their faith that are mean as the devil, right? Because the gospel is the gospel is the gospel. So even the devil could preach the gospel and someone get saved. That's true. But what God intended was for people to get born again, grow up, mature, bear fruit, and the seeds in the fruit, and then kaboom, here we go. So you say, well, I'm a young Christian. And I'm not there yet, and I'm just learning. I don't feel all these things. I'll give you that for a while, but not 20, 30, 40 years. You got saved when you were 6 years old, and you got no seed for 40 years? What the heck is going on there? You got to grow up. I don't know how. Why do you think we have all this discipleship stuff going on in this church? What does that mean? That means someone will come alongside and walk with you and make sense of basic things, get you to the place where, go down to verse Galatians 5:22. He's given this list of the works of the flesh. Then the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When that kind of fruit is popping off the limbs of your tree, people are going to be drawn to that tree, to that fruit, and there's going to be seed in that fruit. Because if that's your life, when they come to you and say, my gosh, how are you this person? Where you're not the other list, you're this list. You love people. You have joy. You have peace. You have long suffering. You can't have those things and it not be noticeable. And so if that's really your life, you're walking with God, you're mature, you're bearing fruit, they're drawn to you, they see that, you think, well, I'm going to be really shy. The shyest person in the world will not keep their mouth shut when someone asks for a reason for the hope that's within you. You can't help yourself. It's like a 15-year-old boy that the switch has been thrown, and it's game on. So you can track seed all the way through when it's working to what? to seed. Then when it's working, you have seed to seed with. You have seed to plant because your life has processed to the point where you're like, oh my gosh. Now let me tell you something about maturing and getting up and running where your life bears fruit that God intended and you're sharing your faith. The likelihood of you going backwards, I'm not saying it's not possible, it's not likely. Grown-ups don't go back to being kids unless something goes terribly wrong. I get this, you know, hear this in conversation. You see some young people, whatever, and what do people say? Man, I wouldn't go back to that age. I don't want to be that age again, right? And the older you get, the more you don't want to go back. Well, but I could go back and change. You know, I don't want to go back to that. Why? Because you're a grown-up. You are where you are, and you get that's where you are. All right, I wrote a little something. This may help you. You sense a need, your heart gets a seed. In his word you read why Jesus got treed and had to bleed. You finally heed, you do the deed. You and God are agreed, you now are freed. The enemy tries to mislead, your growth to impede. The word is misread. You try to proceed but are not able to succeed. Caught up in spiritual greed, we offer God chicken feed. Run back to him with speed, your expectations he'll exceed. Not staying connected indeed, one thing must precede. You need some feed. It's time to sow some seed. A crop is guaranteed. He already has decreed the fruit contains the seed. I could rap to it if you could play me a little beat, you know. Okay, it's not complicated, right? So hopefully the Holy Spirit shows you what's up. So finds you a mirror, look in the mirror and say, Lord, is this me? And he goes, yeah, it's you. So I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. So you live in me. Yep. I'm not mature yet, am I? Nope. Can I be? Yep. And what's going to happen? You're going to start bearing fruit. And there'll be seed in that fruit and it's game on. I'm interested in that. So let's move toward that. Okay, I'm in. So Lord, send me people that can help raise me. Like a kid that's born, needs parents, needs people to help them. Send me people to help. And help me get up and running where I'm bearing fruit. I've got seed. I can plant that seed and then do that for someone else. That's the deal. As you're going, make disciples. Be fruitful and multiply. Now listen to me. If you heard this today in this room and beyond, and you say no, you're in for a heap of trouble and consequence. Because you know better. And God will say, okay, you don't get it. But let me tell you what you're going to get is discipline. Because I am not going to stop what I started. I'm going to finish what I start, and I'm going to turn the heat up until you realize your way is not going to work and you get back to what I intended for your life. I own you. You're bought with a price. And I got plans and purposes for your life, and I've preserved it to this point, but I'm only going to do that so long. You say, well, you're trying to scare us. You should be scared a little bit. There should at least be some awe, like a thought that one day I will stand before Jesus himself and go, what was I thinking? So here's something to think about. Think about it and do something about it. Grow up.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
The last thing I'm going to share is that I met with a guy the other day, and we talked about some of this, and he felt like he was not maybe lukewarm, something wasn't right. And we ended up on our knees, on the ground, crying and praying together. And I said to him, God is going to give you an opportunity today to take a step in the right direction. You cannot miss it and you cannot say no to it. I got a text that afternoon and he had taken one of his employees to lunch and the guy got saved. All right. There's a clap. Now, he sends me that text and blew me completely up. You go, well, how did he do it without you? Funny thing how that works. He had his own seed. So I'm going to say the same thing to you. You say, okay, well, I'm in. I know too much. I've been this person before maybe, and I've just cooled off, lukewarm. It's not happening. Today, if you hear his voice, then today you're probably going to hear his voice and you'll have an opportunity. And it's not a game, it's a war. Get back in the war, get back in the fight, because there are people counting on you growing up, because they're crying themselves to sleep, can't figure out why nobody shows up, and you're up, because you got to seed.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.